Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In this edition of Hoopsology, Matt and Justin welcome the associate editor at Slam Magazine and the co-host of the Hoopish show, Daisha Sway Smith. Daisha wrote a cover story on star USC freshman Juju Watkins for Slam Magazine, and we get her insight into why Watkins is set to be college basketball's next star. We also break down how Caitlin Clark declaring for the WNBA draft will affect the women's game, and we get into an early preview of the WNBA season. We have a great chat set for you with Daisha. She provided a lot of great insight into not only the future of Juju Watkins, but also Caitlin Clark and the women's games overall. This was a fantastic podcast. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Hoopsology is presented by Ball's Life. And now, Daisha Sway Smith. She is an associate editor for Slam Magazine and a co-host of the Hoopish show. We welcome Daisha Sway Smith onto Hoopsology. Welcome, Daisha.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm hyped.
Thanks for coming on to the show. Really appreciate it. Our show is similar to your show. We tackle kind of the X's and O's a little bit with the NBA, but we like to cover basketball culture as a whole. I just think it's extremely important not just to cover what LeBron James is, the points he's going to score on any day. I think basketball is, it's much more of just a culture in terms of the history and what's taking place now. And in saying that, we covered the W in women's basketball as well, and a lot of developments have been happening. And notice your article on Juju Watkins, the USC freshman, and I just think that really women's college basketball in particular is really blowing up right now, and I think we're going to see a fusion of really the college game and the pro game really coming together within the next just couple of months. So I want to focus on Juju Watkins and your article. And I know Caitlin Clark's getting a lot of attention, which we'll get to in a second. But with Juju Watkins, for basketball fans that don't know who she is, can you kind of give a synopsis in terms of why she's blown up, why she's been referenced by Gilbert Arenas in terms of like her game, and why do you think she's poised for some great things in the future?
Yeah, Juju's a rock star. I feel like that's the best, you know, the best way to describe her. She's electric on the court. Her game is so fluid. And she's been a rock star since high school. You know, she's had everyone from rappers to LeBron, you know, obviously pulling up, sitting courtside at her games. And, you know, now she's at USC and she's really carrying the torch of that USC legend and legacy, and also kind of, you know, really kind of helping carry women's basketball into this new momentum. But yeah, you watch Juju play and you're like, she is a star. And it's crazy because she's just a freshman, which is insane.
So where is her ceiling, do you think? And kind of based on what's happening with not only Caitlin Clark, but Sabrina Ionescu and Paige Buckers and other kind of peers that's in this era with her, does she stay all 4 years in college? Do you have a situation where there's a lot of pressure if, you know, if we see Caitlin Clark really become the face of the WNBA and Angel Reese as well? Like, where does she go in terms of kind of the college game? Where do you think her future lies?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I really don't think that there's a ceiling. I think that the sky is the limit for Juju. And, you know, we look at, you know, Hannah and Caitlin and, you know, all of these stars, Angel Reese, you know, in the game. And I think you're absolutely right. Like, the transition right from college to the pros is a transition. And, you know, the WNBA really is its own league and its own game and has its own stars. But, you know, I think kind of this era that we're in with women's college hoops, it's going to be really, really exciting. I don't always like to predict, like, you know, is a player gonna, you know, stay for X amount of time or do this? Because I really just love to enjoy the game, and, you know, the game brings me so much joy, and they already have a lot of pressure. But I think at the same time, like, you know, whatever Juju decides, and even we see Caitlin, she just declared, you know, the sky really is the limit for them. I think it'll be interesting to see a lot of these younger players And new faces like, you know, Caitlin, if she's selected number one and goes to the Fever, that'll be really interesting. You know, seeing her play alongside like Analia Boston would be super, super compelling. But yeah, you know, I think once these college stars go to the W, they really kind of have to form their own identity and really kind of get used to that system. So we'll see. We'll see.
With this transition from college to the pros, is there any reason to be maybe just a little more concerned, or maybe like pumping the brakes a little bit on first year expectations? Because we know that there aren't many roster spots available in the WNBA in general. So it's a very deep league for the players available. I mean, are there any concerns, you know, that expectations are like, maybe we're filling them up with gas too much on their way in?
Yeah. I mean, we, as the media, right, we tend to control a lot of narratives, and we are the ones that kind of help create the hype. Obviously the players do it on the court, but we're the ones that really hype it up, which is amazing for women's basketball. But I completely agree. Like, I think that's a reality for a lot of W fans, is, you know, they love these players in college, and then, you know, they might not necessarily realize, like, yeah, there are limited roster spots, you know, training camp, all of that type of stuff. And, you know, I think that with the W expanding, I really hope that that gets better. I mean, there's so many players that were, you know, on teams last season that, you know, didn't end up making the roster. So many players get drafted and don't even make the roster. So, you know, yeah, I think that that's like a really harsh reality, but I hope expansion helps that.
I heard an interesting comparison just kind of with the timeline of where the WNBA is. I believe it was on Bill Simmons' show with Chuck Klosterman, actually made the comparison that, you know, women's basketball, where it is right now, granted, there's a lot of modern day differences just with NIL and things like that, but it seems to be on a similar trajectory to where men's basketball was kind of in the 80s, in terms of, like, we had the Big East was very popular, maybe arguably the most popular basketball that was out there, even over the NBA at that point, you know, until we get later into the 80s. Do you see that as an apt comparison for where the WNBA is right now, in terms of the strength of college versus pros? I mean, we've seen the ratings numbers increase in the WNBA, no doubt, and they've been monstrous in college for several of the games, even over the course of the regular season. I guess, you know, long question here, and sorry for that, but where do you see the WNBA and women's college sports right now on their timeline?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, women's college basketball has always been exciting and amazing. You could go back to, like, you know, Skylar when, you know, Chu's playing, and Arike, right? Like, there's been all of these legends. I think the difference, though, is that they're social media. And I think that's really, like, the difference, right? Is, like, you know, there are so many eyes on women's college basketball just because streaming and information is a lot more accessible. And, you know, whereas probably, you know, in the 80s and 90s and I don't know, maybe 10, 20 years ago, right? Like, even streaming, watching games was difficult for women's basketball. Whereas now you could just go on Twitter and you can see highlights all the time. I feel like that's kind of where, and I see it with the WNBA as well, with social media, where there's so many WNBA creators that are almost like creating this new media of, like, you know, pushing information, covering games, you know, helping make sure that, like, stats and information are a lot more accessible. And I think that's really kind of where women's basketball has really, like, reached a new momentum culturally and socially, because we just are able to access the highlights and, you know, all of the team's social media posts way more than before.
Do you think with women's college basketball and the WNBA, like you said, they've been able to capitalize on social media more than the male counterparts? Because in terms of popularity of March Madness, who's really talking about the males game? I mean, I've seen a lot of media, top media outlets. I mean, Shannon Sharp was like, I can't name you a a male college basketball player. We can't either unless we're talking about the Lobos. We went to the University of Mexico. So other than that, because we were alumni, we can't name you a male college basketball player. So, and I think this has been a trend overall with just the buzz of a lot of these women's players in high school on social media. What do you think is kind of the difference there compared to kind of their male counterparts?
Yeah, I actually saw this tweet. It's so funny that you bring that up because I saw this tweet where like someone was like, oh, like, why aren't we talking about men's basketball? Like, it was almost like, I don't know, some men's basketball fans are like getting salty. They're like, oh, no one's talking about it. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, especially considering I've always been someone in my career that's covered both men's and women's basketball. You know, going to the men's Final Four and covering the WNBA and all of that type of stuff. So I've always kind of, I guess, paid attention to both. I would definitely say that this really is like the first time where I'm like, oh yeah, people are really tuned into women's college basketball and not so much the guys. But I think at the same time, like, it just kind of, I guess, depends on your viewership and what you're into. I know I still watch men's college basketball, and, you know, at Slam, it's been really cool because we have a lot of players that play in the Slam Summer Classic in high school. And, you know, now they're in college. You know, we had like Cooper Flagg on the cover, and he'll be in college soon. So, you know, I'm definitely tuned into both. But I think at the same time, like, you have Caitlin, you have Juju, you have Hannah, you have Angel Reese, like, these players are so exciting that I also just love seeing, like, you know, so many new fans are really starting to watch the game. And I really hope that this is like an opportunity for them to learn new players and other faces. Because Caitlin's amazing, right? But there's so many women in college basketball, except, you know, she is shooting from the logo. So it's pretty freaking cool. Yeah.
So I want to ask you about Juju Watkins and again, your article you wrote. Can you kind of take us into how she is as a freshman in terms of the environment of just her classmates, like going to class, like the pressure that she faces? Like, she's probably a rock star on campus already. And as well, Caitlin Clark, like, what is the pressure of just being a freshman in college, but yet dealing with all these expectations of people, you know, knowing who you are and that anonymity is gone? You can't just be a freshman in college. You're kind of like this chosen one of, you know, this historic basketball history of USC.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting question. Cause like, I feel like I'm 27, so I didn't witness like LeBron when he was in high school. I wish if I had like a magic wish, I would have loved to see that era in person. But that would have been an interesting question to ask like a LeBron, right? Like, he, the entire world knew who he was, all of that type of stuff. With Juju, it was super, super interesting because the minute I got on campus, you know, I like to go to like campus bookstores and things like that. And so I went into the school store and I saw right next to Bronny's jersey was Juju's. And I was like, okay, that is amazing. That's super cool. Then I walk outside of the campus bookstore and I'm like, oh, school paper. Like, let's see what their sports section is talking about. And the minute I open the sports section, the only photo, and it's huge, it fills up almost the whole page, was of Juju. And that was before we even did the cover shoot. And so I was like, okay, like, Juju really is a star. You have her jersey. She's, you know, front page of the sports section. And then we get to the cover shoot and we shot inside the practice facility. And then we also went outside. And the lead of the story, there was a really, really cool moment where while we were photographing her, someone who's driving in a car nearby screams like, I love you, Juju. And, you know, we didn't know who it was. She didn't know if it was a random person or a friend, or a teammate, but that I feel like was really what really kind of opened my eyes, where I was like, okay, like, everyone knows who she is and she is a rock star on the same campus that LeBron James's son is also here, right? Like, there's so many celebrities and stars too that go to USC. And that's when I was really like, wow, like, this is a really, really cool moment. But I think what was really interesting is that Juju is, you know, as much as she is a rock star and, you know, she is a celebrity in her own right. She's also just like a freshman in college. You know what I mean? She watches, you know, movies just like everyone else. She loves listening to R&B music. Like, I think that's what's really interesting, is that you take all of the hype and the attention that surrounds a player, and then you actually spend time with them and you realize, you know, these young players really are just like exceptional athletes, and they're people with an exceptional talent. And that's what I think makes like my job really cool to write about them. And I, you know, loved writing that cover story, because I was like, you know, she really hurt between her and Caitlin and, you know, Hannah Angel, we could name so many others. You know, there are these stars, but they're also just kids in college that have class and have tests and, you know, maybe don't eat in the dining hall like everybody else. I don't know. But at the same time, right, like, you know, they're on TikTok and they're just kind of like college kids. And I'm 27, so I'm actually not that much older than a lot of them as well, which is crazy.
So I want to shift to the effect of NIL on these athletes and why there's controversy. And recently what happened with Caitlin Clark declaring that she's going to be in the WNBA draft, there seems to be some kind of controversy about her like taking a pay cut, which I find ridiculous. Like, I don't know why this is even a conversation. And I think it's pretty sexist, to be honest. Like, I was baffled. And we were talking about really respected journal, or were respected journalists, tied making this into a big story. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to ask, in your opinion, where do you see kind of the relationship between NIL and these athletes overall, just in terms of, you know, instead of typically the relationship of these athletes is that, you know, unfortunately they're not paid in college and they have to wait till they're pros. Now they're seeing real money immediately, right when they get into college, even before that. Do you think that has a positive or a negative effect, you know, on these athletes on or off the court, you think?
Yeah, I loved, you know, especially like what you said in the beginning, like this whole controversy and this discourse, especially on Twitter, it's just ridiculous. Like, I loved when Haley Jones like spoke up about it and was like, look, like, you need to actually get educated on the W. Like, no, I did not take a pay cut by going to the W. Like, my NIL and my deals didn't stop. You know, I think NIL is, I mean, it's been fascinating. And, you know, as all of us, right, that have watched college basketball for so long, it's just really changed, I feel like, the landscape. You see Caitlin and she has all of these deals. I think she just signed a new one earlier today or yesterday. She's in Nike commercials. You know, like, I think that NIL is fantastic for the college athletes. It really gives them, I feel like, this opportunity to build their own brand and, you know, also support themselves, support their families. And, you know, NIL deals, like Caitlin signed a multi-year deal recently, right? Like, that's not going to end when she goes to the W. So I feel like it's, you know, people just aren't educated on, honestly, the W and kind of the whole system with it. And yeah, I don't know. This controversy is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I do feel like a lot of people, I mean, myself included early on, I didn't know that the NILs lasted beyond, you know, a college career. Mm-hmm. Have you seen like a particular length that on average these deals are being signed for? I mean, is it typically like, you know, like a 4-year span, like a standard college education, or even things beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like what I've seen is like, especially when it comes to like the sneaker deals or signing with like sneaker companies and things like that, you know, there's so many W players that are signed with Nike, Adidas, things like that. And, you know, some of those deals, especially for the recently drafted like Aaliyah and things like that, you know, that did start like when they were in college. And now you see it with, you know, Juju has NIL deals, I believe, and Caitlin. So yeah, I don't know, you know, the exact, I guess, like span of the deals, but I just mainly hear like multi-year being used a lot. So it definitely goes to show that, you know, there's a lot of like crossover or carryover from college to the W, which is amazing.
And I think it's most baffling when you hear the narrative around Caitlin Clark specifically, because there is so much buzz around her in particular. I mean, a lot of people, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but a lot of people are thinking she's going to change, like be this one player. And granted, there are multiple talented players we know and great personalities, but this one player, I think people are viewing her as that is going to completely transform the league and maybe even shift, you know, what I was alluding to earlier about kind of this balance of power, this tug of war between women's college basketball and the women's professional game, to where things may flip as they did in the NBA eventually with the rise of Magic and Bird and Michael Jordan carrying on kind of the torch, so to speak, after that. Do you see a shift of power potentially coming? I mean, is there even that potential with the way things are structured right now?
I think that we just love a good story. Like, I think Magic and Bird is the right. Like, that was a good story. That's like, I didn't even think I was alive when that was going on. And I know the story, right? Like, and I feel like, yeah, the shifting of power, and I feel like also just like influence and legacy adds to the story as well. Like, it's so tough because the W is so powerful, right? Like, you have like super teams, like the Aces, right? Like, they've built dynasties. Asia has a statue, you know what I mean? Like, you look at, you know, like the Aces, the Liberty, Stewie, UConn, right? Like, these are legends. Diana, Sue, Maya. But I think at the same time, you know, I don't know. I'm the type of person where I'm just like, a good story is a good story, and we'll see what Caitlin does. And I think it's interesting to think in terms of like, okay, is she gonna like really, you know, change women's basketball, even though women's basketball has been electric and incredible for decades. And there's a whole history of women's basketball, you know, things like that, like in Iowa, right? Like, you know, women would, young high school girls would play 6-on-6 before they were allowed to play 5-on-5, things like that. And so, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I think that it's so easy to put so much pressure into like, what will the future look like? But it's also just like, the only person that's really going to determine that is Caitlin when she's there. You know what I mean? Like, we could have said the same thing about Asia when she was at South Carolina, and now look at her, right? Like, she wrote that script. But yeah, for us, it is interesting to like talk about and prophesize. So,
yeah. Well, and to one of your original points there, do you think that narrative and the ability to build narrative is a distinct advantage for the women's game now, in that, you know, we talked about earlier, can't really name many men's college players or teams that were all that interested necessarily, unless maybe you're, you know, that school's alma mater, all those types of things that are kind of inherent. But with the women's game and women's basketball players still being in school for multiple years, is that a distinct advantage for drawing up better narratives potentially than the men's game?
That is such an interesting question.
So I feel like there's an advantage there.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting because on the guy's side, right? Like, one and done, like you look at like, you know, a Kentucky and Duke, right? Like, you know, these schools that have like really created this. I mean, you look at the NBA now, right? Like, the NBA is a direct result of one and done, right? Like, then the NBA draft is almost always one and done. But so that's so interesting. I feel like when it comes to the women's game, we sometimes like go back and forth about this in the office, because we're kind of like, okay, what would it look like if there really was one and done? But it's interesting because I think college players staying all 4 years, I can see both sides of it, right? Like, I do think that we're going to start to really see these players where I think the conversation of one and done is going to really start to come up, especially like talent pool and, you know, all of that type of stuff. I think at the same time, though, when it comes to like brand building and storytelling, and now you have NIL, which is, you know, attached to the schools and all of that type of stuff. Like, yeah, it'll be really, really interesting to see. I feel like that conversation probably start to come up, because you could argue for like so many players in the W, like what if they could have gone one and done? You know what I mean? Like what would have happened? Yeah, that's fascinating. I don't know, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe the conversation will come up soon.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting too, because the NIL may serve as sort of this function to preserve things the way they are. Like there's not, you know, in the men's game, there's kind of, you can go after high school for a while there. I mean, of course, that's what LeBron did, Dwight Howard, Kobe, Kevin Garnett, all these players that, you know, they were some of the ones that were able to rise above some of the struggles that some other guys who tried to come out of high school faced. But there may not have even been the need for that mechanism or that rush had there been, of course, NIL at the time. So it's almost like it's sort of a way to preserve the women's college game maybe where it is right now. I mean, maybe not preserve's not the right way to put it, but there's not this urgent mechanism to make money sooner necessarily for these players.
Yeah. And I was reading even that, like, I believe it was Caitlin, you know, that got, I think when she, even before she was a freshman in high school, her coach or something received a letter from some college coaches saying that at 14, she could like start on their team right then and there. And so it's so interesting because it's like, yeah, like, what if Caitlin could have, you know what I mean? Like gone straight to the pros out of college, or any of these players, Caitlin, Juju, like this exact story that we have now of this new era of women's basketball and all of this momentum that could have not been at the level that it is now if they would have gone straight to the pros. So yeah, it's super, super interesting for sure.
So I want to let you go with this question. I want to kind of get your preview of the W. It's a little bit early, but a lot of main storylines happening. And I just want to kind of get kind of your perspective on league expansion. Their TV deal is going to be up fairly soon. Of course, we talked about, you know, the impending arrival of Caitlin Clark, the Aces going for the three-peat. What are you looking forward to in the W this year and kind of the future of the league? I know there's been kind of different controversies in terms of roster spots. Like, what are you looking for in terms of this year specifically for growth and storylines that fans should be watching out for?
I am so excited. First of all, Skylar, she's back. I feel like I've been waiting on the edge of my seat for this moment. Like, I am so hyped. I feel like that team is going to be such a powerful squad. You know, I've written the cover story on the Aces and the Liberty as well. So I'm really, really hyped to see, you know, like if these teams will be able to run it back. We all, you know, obviously with Caitlin declaring, you know, when she gets number one pick and goes to Indiana, that'll be super, super interesting. Yeah, I feel like we're really, you know, it's interesting, I guess, because this like narrative of the super team era, like I remember last season, it was, oh, the Aces, oh, the Liberty. And, you know, I remember when I sat down with the Aces, they were like, we've always been this super team squad. We're the same squad that ran it back. You know what I mean? But I think it'll be interesting because, and you know, there's also the expansion too. That'll be super, super cool. Once that really like gets going and gets off the ground. And then I also think that this incoming draft class will also be really, really cool. And then there's just more excitement to come, right? Between like, you know, I know Paige is going to go, you know, return, but, you know, once Paige, you know, starts to talk about coming to the W and, you know, we have Juju and Hannah in the future. Yeah, I feel like the WNBA, the excitement, this is really just the beginning. And this season will really kind of, I feel like, bring all of the fandom and the excitement and the hype and also the game, you know, like the women's game is growing and it is so exciting and so fun to watch. And you see in the NBA, right? Like over time, you know, you had this surgence of shooting from Steph Curry and three-point shooting. You know, how's that going to look when you bring what many people call the female Steph Curry into the W, right? Like, you know, that type of stuff. But there's obviously Sabrina, who can shoot the lights out and hold her own against Steph. And so, yeah, you know, I feel like we're just going to really see, like, just this elevation of play, competition, and now, you know, there's some new squads coming in the mix as well. So I'm super, super hyped. I'm like counting down the days. And I love March Madness. Like, March Madness is one of my favorite times of the year. But yeah, as a women's basketball fan and someone that covers it, I feel so spoiled that we're going to get to go for March and then draft. And then, you know, soon it'll be the W season. So I'm hyped.
We are too. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're really looking forward to it. Daisha, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Please let our audience know where they can find you on social media and then all the projects you're working on as well.
Yeah, you can find me at Daisha Smith. It's just my name. So D-E-Y-S-E-H-A Smith. Yeah, Instagram, TikTok. I'm always tweeting. And then, yeah, upcoming projects you will have to see. Yeah, we got some really cool stuff in the works. So you guys will just have to tune in.
Stay tuned.
Awesome. We'll be watching. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Hoopsology, presented by Boss Life. If you have comments or questions about this episode, please email hoopsologypod@gmail.com. Also, leave us a review on iTunes and follow us on all social media platforms.